It's important for people to realize the left is not going to back down. They're going to double down. And when we have our big victories like we did with the Dobbs decision, we don't have a moment to relax.
If we continue to foster the idea of all for one and one for all, you attack that father of seven, you attack that father of 11, you're attacking each and every one of us. We need to get that mindset going here, all for one and one for all. Because then they won't mess with us. But when they take us down one by one and say, who's next? Well, I'll tell you who's next, every single one of us.
Hey everyone, I have a time-sensitive announcement to share with you. Earlier this month, LifeSite was hit with another online censorship attack, this time on TikTok, after publishing the truth about the corrupt administration in the United States. In fact, LifeSite is still permanently banned on Facebook, and our main YouTube channel was wiped out, which is why we're only on the John Henry Weston Show YouTube channel. So this is because the prince of this world hates the truth, and we at LifeSite are committed to bringing you the fullness of the truth, even if the globalists and atheists don't want you to hear it. To help us push forward with our truth-telling mission, I urge you to join us during this special Advent and Christmas season with your prayers and almsgiving. Help us at LifeSite build a culture of life for you, your children, your grandchildren, in the face of massive opposition. By uniting your prayers and your giving with us at LifeSite, you promote our pro-life and pro-family mission of building a culture of life around the world. In fact, when you support LifeSite, I urge you to write a prayer in our comment box. It's a perfect way to infuse your prayer and almsgiving with a charity like LifeSite that you can trust, knowing that we will personally read and pray over all your intentions. We need your prayers and almsgiving now more than ever. We at LifeSite must reach our end of the year fundraising goal, and we have no corporate sponsor, which makes LifeSite's grassroots support from people like you miraculous. So please, as you listen to today's interview, click in the donation link at the top in the description of this video and offer your almsgiving and prayer to LifeSite News. This is the moment we need all of our viewers, even first-time viewers. Join the mission for life, faith, family, and freedom with LifeSite. Join us now with a financial gift of any amount by clicking the first link in the description below. And be a force for good in the world. Also, don't forget to pray with your financial gift. Every little bit helps. So thank you, and may God bless you. Do you remember the Event 201, that 2019 sort of simulation of a pandemic that was conducted by John Hopkins University in association with Bill Gates? They actually used world leaders, and they got together and they did this fake pandemic, what would we do, the rollout. They did fake news about what would happen, news announcements about the progression of things, that people were resisting, that they had to control the media. All of it actually played out. It was very, very weird. It was done in 2019, right before the pandemic rolled out. What if I told you they just did another one? I'm not even joking. In October, again, Bill Gates Foundation with John Hopkins University does another one, this time about a new contagion that is coming apparently in 2025. And this one, unlike COVID, doesn't just go for old people, but it actually affects children and infants, young people and children, more than old people. In addition, in Brazil, things have gone crazy. For the past little while since the so-called election, we have had people out in the streets by the droves. We already know that there was fooling with that election, as testified by my interview with Bernardo Custer, who's on the ground there in Brazil. But in addition to that, we now have the president, Bolsonaro, coming out to say he will give his life for Brazil. We have the Cardinal Burke and Bishop Schneider both giving statements of support to the people of Brazil to continue in their fight against communism in this new, the dictator Lula. But here at home in America, we have the DOJ admitting that they are going after pro-lifers. And finally, in New Zealand, parents who just wanted their baby treated, that heart defect, they were going to go into surgery, doctors advising surgery. Okay, no problem with that. But they wanted their baby to have unvaccinated blood only. They had 20 volunteers come forward who were willing to give the blood. Hospital refuses. What do they do? the state takes custody of their baby. This is Faith and Reason. We've got Liz Yohr and Father Altman here to discuss all of that and more. Stay tuned. This is your Father Altman. Welcome back.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, John Henry. Father, good to be with you.
Father, can you launch us off with a prayer, please?
Certainly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, way back in 1776, the people of the United States declared that government is supposed to be of and for and by the people, that we consent to be governed. We can take that consent back when in the course of human events, the government no longer serves the people, but tries to be a tyrant over them. And we're seeing this all throughout the world. The elites persecuting the people, oppressing the people. Give us the strength to be free people and to fight for that freedom as needs be. And we ask for this grace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So we have this crazy situation where we already experienced this same thing in 2019 with Event 201. And then we see it again right now. Liz, provide us some of those details, if you would.
It's absolutely stunning, killing the same people, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the WHO, as well as Johns Hopkins have got together again, now in Brussels, Belgium, and the title of it is a catastrophic contagion. And they have described this fictional tabletop simulation as a virus that is deadlier and targets children. And this is just incomprehensible that these individuals, organizations supposedly set up to, you know, keep the world healthy, are now signaling, it seems to me, like they did in October of 2019, yet another pandemic. Now that we're out of the coronavirus pandemic and now realizing that it came out of the Wuhan lab, are they now going to create yet another one, this time far deadlier and far more serious to children? It's just absolutely mind-boggling that the elites will not stop in their effort to impose totalitarian control. This tabletop simulation is just really mirrors the one we saw in October here in the United States. And as we know, the October one, which was a simulation only 1 month before the coronavirus outbreak, the same thing, it appears, may be happening. This is a warning, but you know what happened with coronavirus, and now we have 3 years behind us. What happened was those people that in few governments that looked beyond the WHO and beyond the Bill and Melinda Gates and the Tony Fauci's and looked for actual therapies, medications across the board, looking at the ability to solve this man-made virus that infected the world. I think we also need to take a lesson from that, is that not to panic, to broaden our horizons by looking for information from, you know, the Dr. McCulloughs, the Dr. Malones, all the great doctors, a handful, but nevertheless, they're out there, how they address this. If in fact the global elites are intending on unleashing a virus that's deadlier and targets children, it is the most hideous, most monstrous attack on humanity known to man. And so, you know, this is a warning. Whether it in fact happens, we don't know. But I think we have a lot of learning lessons and experience that we can draw from and to really be on guard to the next tactic that they're going to use to depopulate the world and to impose tyrannical control.
Let's take a look at some of that footage now.
It began in healthy-looking pigs, months, perhaps years ago. A new coronavirus spread silently within herds. Gradually, farmers started getting sick. Infected people got a respiratory illness with symptoms ranging from mild flu-like signs to severe pneumonia. The sickest required intensive care, many died. Experts agree unless it is quickly controlled, it could lead to a severe pandemic, an outbreak that circles the globe and affects people everywhere.
The mission of the Pandemic Emergency Board is to provide recommendations to deal with the major global challenges arising in response to an unfolding pandemic. The board is comprised of highly experienced leaders from business, public health, and civil society.
We could be looking at double the number of cases in 1 week and 16 times as many in a month if we are not able to stop the spread. That would be on the order of 500,000 cases, and it would continue to rise exponentially. In 3 months, we could be approaching 10 million cases.
We're at the start of what's looking like it will be a severe pandemic. And there are problems emerging that can only be solved by global business and governments working together.
We have known about caps-like viruses in animals and people for decades, but have not been successful at developing a licensed vaccine. And sure, there are new technologies that may help, but it's going to be difficult. I am not optimistic about having a vaccine in time to be relevant during this pandemic.
Officials in two Latin American countries alerted the WHO of several outbreaks of a new infectious disease that's mysteriously appearing across the region, Severe Epidemic Enterovirus Respiratory Syndrome 2025. Over the past 6 weeks alone, there have been 500 confirmed or suspected cases reported. The virus could cause a severe pandemic if early containment and mitigation efforts are not successful.
The pandemic in this type of situation and trend would be a risk for the global health security.
Pandemics are inherently political, financial, and so much broader.
We have not spoken on the leadership in country. And I think that we need to be also very careful. We cannot decide a lot of things without the leaders be involved and agree on that.
There is no substitute for national leadership.
It's important to support the local response or the national response.
Training those that are in these areas first, enabling them with the tools, protecting them, and if needs be, regional solidarity first.
At this stage, communication is key, and communication should include not just scientists with data, but also social, religious, and political leaders.
Trust. This is an essential issue, and trust was broken among countries, between populations and healthcare systems, between healthcare systems and governments.
I'm very sorry to say that in 2025, we need to strengthen the health system.
WHO needs to be a voice for the voiceless.
No one is safe until all of us are safe.
As of today, there have been an estimated 1 billion cases worldwide, with more than 20 million deaths, including nearly 15 million children. Countless millions are alive, but left with paralysis or brain damage. The most successful countries are those which invested in preparedness and trained for this moment years in advance. This included having full-time pandemic preparedness and response teams, which conducted detailed operational planning and routinely tested those plans through exercises and drills. If more countries had participated and heeded the guidance, the toll might have been much less.
Father, if I can get your take on this.
It reminds me of when Klaus Schwab at Davos this year said that we have the solutions to the problem with population in the world. And of course, his dad was best friends with Hitler, who had the final solution. Satan likes to brag, but I find it staggering that they would even do something as braggart as this. I saw a meme recently, and it was goes something like this: I identify as a conspiracy theorist, and my pronouns are told/you/so. And I thought, it's not something you and I want to be vindicated with. After people die, after children now die, there's no joy in vindication here. Anybody who sits and even thinks about it, and I've talked to intelligent, Christian, loving people, and it's like right over their heads that, as in the past, as Dr. Malone, Dr. McCullough showed us, that we had proper therapeutics for taking care of this last man-made biological weapon. People tend to forget this. Wuhan was a man-made biological weapon that somehow gets free, and Fauci's hands are all over it. So, and then they conveniently come up with, they call it a vaccine. It is a wrong word. It is not a vaccine. It is a treatment, not a vaccine. Listen, polio is wiped out in the world. You and I, if we got our vaccine for polio, you know what? We can't get it, and we cannot give it to somebody else. If anybody with a brain can see that you get this jab, next thing you know, you're still having COVID 3-4 times. It's not a vaccine, or you wouldn't get it again. If it was a vaccine and you took the jab, you didn't have to worry about whether or not I got the jab, right? It's not a vaccine. It is a filthy answer to a man-made biological weapon. So this next thing that they're practicing in Belgium, again, it's going to be a man-made thing, because God didn't put that kind of a horror in the world. So when I look at the laws, you know, when this last thing happened, the law in all 50 states allowed the governors to immediately lock us down. And I thought, wow, when our governor did it, I looked up the statute, and sure enough, it was there. It was for a circumstance where there was a deadly pandemic, not for COVID, not this man-made biological weapon. But they're going to do the exact same thing as Liz was saying, to establish a totalitarian government. They're going to lock us down again, and you better be ready. It was like a warm-up for what they really intend to do as coming forward. People can call me a conspiracist till the cows come home, and I'm not going to be happy when I'm vindicated.
Unbelievable. We also have another most shocking thing that happened this week in New Zealand. This one, it struck a chord of horror into the hearts of parents, I think, everywhere. It was so shocking. A young family have a baby. The baby has a heart defect. Surgery, the doctors are suggesting, no problem. The parents are all good with this. They are concerned about vaccinated blood. They have 20 volunteers who want to provide blood for their baby for the surgery. It's absolutely refused. In fact, not only is it refused, they take the child away from the parents into the custody of the state. Liz, do you have any more details for us?
Yes, this is a 6-month-old baby that has a heart condition, and we're talking about vaccinated blood that has caused hundreds of thousands of myocarditis, heart ailments, sudden deaths as a result of myocarditis. And rightly so, these parents are concerned about that kind of vaccinated blood being put into their child who is undergoing a serious heart operation. And it would seem, you know, and of course, the draconian New Zealand government has been the worst, if there is a worst, in all this COVID madness, the lockdowns, the imposition of mandated vaccine. But to take a child away from a parent, it's essentially saying the state knows better. These parents are going to be vindicated. I mean, they're absolutely right to do what they're doing and demanding. It's tragic that the healthcare system would not have the insight or the research to understand the danger of vaccinated blood or at least the precautionary stance that one would take, with especially when you have these people who have not been vaccinated offering their blood for this little baby. It's this cautionary tale is one that is the greatest fear for every parent, to lose their children to the tyrannical government. You know, I think this is a message for not only New Zealanders, but also for, you know, the tyrants in the healthcare system, you know, that they're going to take care of our health, will go to any extent to promote this vaccine and to promote the cures and the treatment that the government suggests, not that the, you know, research is just blowing out as fast as it can be. Independent, peer-reviewed research about the danger of the blood, the clotting of the blood. And so here we go again. People are going to just have to stand strong, and hopefully this temporary guardianship, they will get their baby returned to them quickly, and that the baby won't be further damaged by this vaccinated blood.
Now, I'm sorry to do this, but I think we have to show this clip. This is a very painful clip to show. It is them taking the child away from his parents while the parents plead. Watch this, and let's pray for these parents.
Excuse me, what are you doing?
Yeah, don't do that, boys. Hey, don't do it.
Hey, stop. Please don't do it.
Hey.
Because you know we're talking about the surgery.
You guys are criminals. You are criminals. You are conducting a criminal act here.
So with the pre-op test, it needs to happen before the surgery.
Hey,
it won't happen tomorrow.
We've been talking to you like rational people, and now you're just removed. You
oh my
God. You are criminals. You.
Oh my God. How can you do this? Oh my God. Get out of my way. Get out of my way.
Guys, move out! Move out the way! You guys are criminals. You are going to be recorded in the annals of time as criminals who come in here and take babies from their mothers. You guys have got to understand that you're criminals.
I understand, but you can't just take my baby like that!
It is in line with the order of the High Court. And they're doing what they need to do now tonight for the operation tomorrow.
I just need to be next to him. Please.
It's not.
Please.
We're prepared to work with you in that, but we really need to have,
shush.
We need to be able to converse like
okay,
we are now.
Can I just be there with him? You can do all of that stuff, but I need to be there with him.
You know that nurse is crying too, because you know this is so wrong.
Know that everyone involved and everyone in this room is upset about the situation. I don't want to be here as much.
When, you know, I don't know where this goes to around the world, but, you know, our baby has just been medically kidnapped. Thugs have come in wearing police uniforms and they've ripped the baby out of his bed and violently taken him out of the room. They've threatened to arrest us all if we even pursue our baby. So let this be a lesson to the entire rest of humanity, is the takeover has actually started, and it started in a hospital ward with a baby. So I could have tried to do something, but I would just be in handcuffs on the floor getting beaten right now. So, you know, I call on humanity to arise, because this is, you all know what's happening.
Father, if I can get your take on this situation.
I assume the basis is that they're saying that the parents aren't taking care of the children. So New Zealand has a law where the Child Protective Services can step in and remove children. So the question becomes, when they have volunteers to give blood, does that justify then the government stepping in and saying they need to protect the child because the parents aren't doing a good job? They're putting their child in danger. Clearly that is not the case at all. And yet, well, as a lawyer, I dealt with this for a dozen years, and if I'm still a lawyer, I could deal with it again. You get these social workers with a bachelor's degree in social work, and they'll take the stand, and what they say goes, and you have to try to defend yourself. It was so angering there I sit with, you know, 3 degrees and 9 years of university study, and I'm trying to deal with some crazy lib who's just barely out of college dictating what the government can do with regard to a child. Here's the thing. In this case, I don't know how, I don't know the law in New Zealand, but I don't know how they can pass muster in any court, given the fact that they were taking care of their child. They did want to have the heart problem taken care of. It'd be different if they didn't want the heart problem taken care of. And then, you should really let this happen. But they're trying to get their child taken care of. And here's the government stepping in. Now, this message to New Zealand and a message to all the world. Let's say it was me and my child. And I added, arranged 20 volunteers for blood as well. If they come and try and take my child away, there's going to be a bloodbath. They're not taking my child without a fight. We can't do that in New Zealand because they've outlawed guns. I just read here another meme that I'd seen so many times before, where Hitler said, to control the society, you must disarm the citizens. And the libs everywhere have allowed the government to do this. So the government are the only ones with guns. So when they come to steal that baby from the set of parents, they are defenseless. That's why they will never do that in the United States, because we're not going to put up with it. I'm telling you, if I had my child upstairs and the government tried to come and take it under those pretenses, there would be a bloodbath. The Declaration of Independence said, when the government gets a little too high-handed, it's time to get rid of the government. I don't know what they're going to do in New Zealand now, how they can fight this. If this is the way New Zealand is going to go, I'd say, then you better leave New Zealand, or you've got no complaints when the government takes your baby. I don't have words to say, except that they wouldn't pull that stunt on me here in America. But our laws are different, and we do have the Second Amendment to protect ourselves from such a government. People of New Zealand, your government has to go. Since when does a government have authority over your child like they've exercised here? The parents are the stewards of the children, and the parents must answer to God for their stewardship, not some pompous jerk, some social worker, not Child Protective Services. So it's like Cardinal Burke said, and I'll close my thoughts with this. He said, when I die, I'm going to stand in judgment before the Lord, not the USCCB. When you die, parents of New Zealand, you're going to stand before our Lord in judgment of your stewardship of the children God has with whom God has blessed you, not the government of New Zealand. So you better do something about it, or you've got no complaints.
Every single day, there are new developments in the culture war. You need to stay on top of the news from the front lines around the world. And LifeSite's actually our mission to serve you the truth on life, faith, family, and freedom so that you can be an effective soldier for Christ. Subscribe now and never miss an important development in the culture war that you need to know about, all from a faithful Catholic perspective. And check out the links below to get involved with our reporting and our pro-life partners. Thank you and God bless you.
We have the United States government also, though, admitting that they are coming after pro-lifers. The Department of Justice just made an announcement about enacting the FACE law, the Federal Access to Clinic Entrances Act, I believe it's called. Liz, can you give us more details on that?
Sure. Vanita Gupta, who is the U.S. Attorney General for Civil Rights, was infuriated, as was the administration, with, quote, the devastating blow to women throughout the country, that the Dobbs decision took away the constitutional right to abortion and increased the, quote, urgency of the Department of Justice's work. And so Ms. Gupta stated that the Department of Justice has been targeting pro-life activists through this federal law, the Freedom of Access to Clinics Entrances Act. What is also interesting is that we know that 98 Catholic churches and 77 pregnancy resource centers have been damaged, attacked, firebombed since May, since the Dobbs decision was leaked. But yet not one person under the FACE Act has been charged by the Department of Justice. So not only are they targeting people like Mark Houck under the FACE Act, but on the flip side, they refuse to prosecute the individuals, the groups that have attacked Catholic churches and these pregnancy centers. And in some cases, you know, they have license numbers, they have pictures, they have license plates of people that came up, drove up and threw firebombs, and yet there is no prosecution. But look at the good news. This Department of Justice has been attacking pro-life from the moment Joe Biden put his hand on the Bible. But the good news is that over 10,000 babies have been saved as a result of the Dobbs decision. The abortion rate has dropped at least 6%. There's estimates that over 120,000 babies will be saved by year's end from this evil of abortion. So while we're going to have our white martyrs like Mark Halk and our persecutors like Vanita Gupta, we're going to prevail in this fight. You know, it's important for people to realize the left is not going to back down. They're going to double down. And when we have our big victories, like we did with the Dobbs decision, we don't have a moment to relax. We have to double down ourselves and continue to pressure the Department of Justice to uphold the law and to redouble our efforts to save women who are in crisis pregnancy. We need to populate pregnancy centers around the country and around the world. That is the way to respond to the Dobbs decision, as well as passing anti-abortion laws around each and every state in the United States.
That Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act is supposed to cut both ways. It's supposed to protect those pregnancy centers as well, because they too are providing reproductive health services, not the abortion kind that the abortion mills are. Father, your take on this.
As Liz was talking, all I could think of is, and there's Cardinal Gregory canceling the right to life mass, as if we don't have every reason to continue praying for the right to life as one country. Because you see, it's if we continue to foster the idea of all for one and one for all, you attack that father of seven, you attack that father of 11, you're attacking each and every one of us. We need to get that mindset going here, all for one and one for all, because then they won't mess with us. But when they take us down one by one and say, who's next? Well, I'll tell you who's next, every single one of us. We should all stand up, march on. Well, you know, we'd do it when we'd have a holy sacrifice of the mass in Washington, D.C., except Cardinal Gregory has canceled it, as if that ever could be a good idea. I wonder, what is it going to take, John Henry, Liz, what is it going to take for people to finally come together with an all for one and one for all attitude that's going to put a stop to this nonsense? Well, don't wait for Joe Biden. Allegedly a Catholic, right? What did he just do over this past week? He had this, I think it was just yesterday, he had this big celebratory signing of, and as we discussed last week, I think it was John Henry, that this law that is absolutely, it's unconstitutional. And who does he have present? It's a freak show. Hear me again. It was a freak show. He had specifically a drag queen coming to this signing. What kind of a freak do we have for a president? What kind of freak do we have for an elite government? So until we stand up, we better do it now, because the time's the slipping away. You know, as I said about Canada, when those truckers struck and the people of Canada let Trudeau get away with using bullets against these peaceful people. You remember my joke, John Henry? So I see more violence at a hockey game than I see from these truckers. And yet Trudeau used bullets against them. They didn't stand up against them, and now they've lost. There's nothing they're going to be able to do up in Canada. If we don't stand up as one here in the United States, we're going to have lost as well.
In Brazil, there are heroic actions going on by the people. They had an election that is known to have had corruption in it. I spoke with Bernardo Kuster, one of the most famous bloggers in all of Brazil, and he detailed for us the corruption in the election that went on. Most recently, the president has come out to say that he will give his life for Brazil. And we had these two awesome little videos, both from Cardinal Burke and Bishop Schneider, encouraging the Brazilians
to resist communism. And obviously that means to resist the communist Lula who was so-called elected. Let's take a look at that.
Certainly what you say is true, and I offer every encouragement, not only to the people, but to those who are responsible presently for the government in Brazil, that they will act according to God's will, according to what is just and right, in order to serve the good of all the people of Brazil. And that is very much my prayer, and I encourage all in the government of Brazil to take very seriously their responsibility in the present situation, and I will be praying very much that they receive the wisdom and strength to do what is right at this critical moment.
Eu vou rezar para você celebrar a missa para que o Brasil seja salvo do comunismo. E quero dar para vocês todos a bênção de Deus. Et benedictio Dei omnipotentis, patris, et filii, et spiritus sancti, descendat super vos, et maniat semper. Amen. Viva Cristo Rei!
There also has been tremendous censoring both in Brazil and in the United States for the last 40 days since the election. There have been at least a million people protesting on the streets peacefully, demanding that this election is overturned, demanding that the military has power to insist that an election is overturned and to install another government. So things are very tenuous down in Brazil. Lula is a convicted felon and also a dangerous, dangerous communist. And it is clear that there was all sorts of fraud in the Brazilian election. And what's very interesting to me is Bolsonaro finally broke his silence and said, I will give my life to Brazil. Archbishop Schneider, he was ordained a priest in Brazil and spent several years in Brazil as a priest. And so he's very, very close to the Brazilian people, knows the Brazilian people. And so his statement, I think, was very moving with respect to this election with Bolsonaro. And, you know, and I think we know Brazil is a hugely Catholic country. And so to have both Bishop Schneider as well as Cardinal Burke give support to Bolsonaro and, you know, praying for a peaceful and fair and just resolution. If we think there's a lot of people crossing the border now, you know, wait till chaos breaks out in Brazil. Bolsonaro has addressed the public and he has not conceded the race. And I would really urge people to try and look for alternative news outlets to follow what's going on in Brazil. Bishop Schneider, as well as Cardinal Burke, really want to focus our prayers and our attention on this, the largest country in South America, the largest Catholic country in South America. If it goes communist, Katie, bar the door. We have already China very, very interested in coming in and working with Lula. So it's a very serious situation. The people have spoken and the people have continued to speak. And hopefully we'll be able to have a peaceful, right, and equitable resolution to this election.
Father, if I can get both your take on this, but then also, if you wouldn't mind, give us your statement to the people of Brazil. So first of all, your take, and then your statement to the people of Brazil.
What's happening in Brazil is the direct result, as it always has been for the last 60 years, the meddling in foreign governments and enabling those people that the elites of this world want to be in power. You know, once it was Truman set up the CIA, our CIA, between the first 50 in the first 50 years they meddled in and achieved their goals in like 50 government overthrows, just like they just did in Ukraine with Obama and the Department of Defense overthrowing the legitimate government of Ukraine and installing this drag queen as a puppet, who ironically Joe Biden is just going to send Patriot missiles to Ukraine. He's supporting the drag queen, just like the drag queen that showed up at his little signing yesterday. What's going on in Brazil is nothing other than the facilitation, the aiding and abetting of a takeover of the government. And yet you know that the people of Brazil, that is not what they want. No matter what the numbers say, that is not what the people of Brazil want. So I'm not surprised that the elites have been able to orchestrate such a, in essence, a takeover, a coup, if you will, of the country through an alleged election system that we know is rigged. And even if the bad guy, Lula, had, which by the way, convicted felon, dangerous communist, even if he had legitimately won the election, what did he have? Like less than 51%? It was very, 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 very close down there. And what these totalitarians do is they don't care about the other 49.9% of people. It's like they don't exist. It's like here in our country where they don't want to acknowledge the fact that there's a legitimacy amongst the 75 million Trump supporters. It is the way it is with totalitarian government, that they don't care. All they need to do is just get in power. And then, as Obama is seen on YouTube saying in Ohio back in 2008, well, thank God we controlled the machines. You can see it on YouTube. See, all they need to, because he said, both sides do it, he said. And when the party in power just, you know, tries to tip the balance in their favor. Once these people get in, they're in. And they tip the balance in their favor. So the people of Brazil, this is their chance. This is our golden shiny moment. Either stand up against this communist dictator or fall under the, how did Churchill put it back in the Balkans? He said, with the strike of a pen, the Iron Curtain has fallen over all these people of the West, of the East. So this is their chance to do something, and they better not back down, or it's like to say, or forever hold your peace. God has created you, and it's to him you look for your, You're made in his image and likeness for your value as a free human being. That is something that no government can or should take away. So fight now, fight with all your might, and take back your country. Know your history and know what happens if you don't fight now. Reagan had that great speech, and Jim Caviezel, great guy, always quotes it. It's where Reagan said, you do something now, and I'm a poor paraphraser of this, you might live now if you don't fight back, but what are you going to live for? You're going to live under this new regime, and for what? What good is that going to do in your personal life, in your life of faith, in your eternal life? I tell the Brazilians, don't back down no matter what. There will be martyrs. There's a famous phrase in a recent movie about, oh, there will be martyrs. There will be. But better to be a martyr and die in freedom than to live as a slave to the government. So die now, Brazilians. I stand with you.
There's that magnificent statue in Brazil, in Sao Paulo, overlooking the harbor, of Jesus Christ, hundreds and hundreds of feet high. Jesus Christ, our King and Savior. And that really is a symbol, not only to the Brazilians, that Jesus is their Savior, and he is the one we answer to, but for all of us, a Christ-centered culture, a Christ-centered society. And so when I think of the suffering of the Brazilian people, I think of that magnificent statue that guards the harbor, guards the city, and is watching over the people of Brazil.
And finally, this is our last program before Christmas. So I wanted to give you each an opportunity just to wish our viewers a happy and holy Christmas.
We're less than 2 weeks away now from when we celebrate the coming of the Savior who saves us from not just government, but from sin. And look what we did to him. He came even knowing what we were going to do to him. But to those who keep the faith and run the race to the end, there is eternal salvation. So the glory of the dawn from on high falling upon us, like if we always keep our eyes on Jesus, all this crazy that's going on in the world that we keep talking about, this madness with the new government-created pandemic that's coming that they've warned us about, the madness of totalitarianism where they're taking your child in New Zealand, the madness that's going on down in Brazil. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, as Liz pointed out, there is Jesus above the big harbor there. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, none of that matters. He came. Let us go like the shepherds to his crib and look down upon the person who shows us the way, the truth, and the life. That's what we really celebrate at the coming of Christmas is the way to live, the truth of how to live, the life that we will have into eternity. So peace be with you all around the world, because I know the show is watched around the world. Peace be with you all, and let us celebrate together as one family in faith and in love the coming of our Savior.
And when I think of Christmas, the first thing that comes to my mind is the beautiful St. Andrew's Christmas Novena. And I'd like to recite it for all of our listeners in thanksgiving for their faith. They're willing to grow in the faith and their love of the baby in the stable. Hail and blessed be the hour, the moment at which the Son of God was born of a most pure virgin. At a stable at midnight in Bethlehem in the piercing cold. At that hour, vouchsafe, I beseech thee to hear my prayers and grant my desires through Jesus Christ and his most blessed mother. Our hope and desires are peace around the world and a growth in our beautiful Catholic faith. I wish everybody a blessed Christmas. And here's to a new year where we'll grow in love of the Lord and of Jesus Christ and his mother.
And from myself and from all of us here at LifeSite News, I hope you and your families have a happy and holy Christmas. May God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Hi, everyone. This is John Henry Weston. We hope you enjoyed this video. And to see more like this, be sure to hit the subscribe button below to get all the latest content from LifeSite News. So check out our links in the description to read more, sign up for our newsletter, and connect with us on social media so that you can stay up to date with all of the latest life, family, and culture news. Thanks for watching, and may God bless you.